I don't work in the medical field, but I have a podcast.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany, your all black wearing, vintage furniture shopping, buying regular home decor during Halloween season friend.
And I'm Kathleen, your cheeky jeans wearing, fall DIY project scheming. I need to paint my lady cave friend.
Ooh, that sounds like a sexual innuendo, but I know you actually do have a lady cave.
It's just my guest bedroom.
Yeah. And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, Kathleen, what are we talking about?
I'm suffering from imposter syndrome.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that term?
I am. I think it's fascinating and I agree with it.
It's basically like when you think you're faking everything in your life.
Yeah.
And I just need to work some things out with you.
Okay.
And our taste buds.
Okay. I love it. And I brought to the table the witching hour. So Dennis stays over on the weekends usually. And this weekend, neither of us have been sleeping very well at all.
Yeah.
And he keeps waking up exactly at 3 a.m. And there is a legend about what 3 a.m. is, what it means when you wake up at 3 a.m. Like, are you being contacted by spirits? Are you being contacted by Satan? Are you being...
I'm legitimately scared right now, Bethany, because I woke up last night at 3 a.m.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Bethany, are you inside of my head?
I'm going to talk to you a couple of reasons why you might be waking up at 3 a.m. Some of them are creepy. Some of them are biological.
Oh, okay.
So we'll discuss that. And we'll discuss the history behind the witching hour.
Can I talk to you about my jeans for a second?
Please. So what are cheeky jeans?
So I'm going to stand up right now and just do a little twirl. Okay,
please do. I always wish you would. Your ass looks fantastic.
So I went to the Gap and I bought this new pair of jeans.
You fell into the Gap?
I fell...
Is that still a thing they say?
I haven't heard of that.
Is that from the 90s? Is that from the... When was that?
I can't stop laughing.
Because I remember my sister would always giggle because she would think of someone with a massive gap between their front teeth and a tiny animated person falling between
it. Oh, my
God. Going, no.
I'm crying. I haven't heard that term in forever. Yeah, that used to be their commercial. I think it was the early 2000s or late 90s.
Fall into the gap. Yeah. So you fell into the Gap and you landed in some cheeky jeans.
I landed in some cheeky jeans. I want to tell everybody about these jeans. I've literally been stopping strangers on the street. The name of the jeans that I bought that I've been wearing every single day, they're called the High Rise Cheeky Straight Jeans with Secret Smoothing Pockets.
Oh, so wait, what are they smooth?
I don't know. They like the pocket area.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So there's a bunch of buttons. They're high-waisted and they're ankle length. So, you know, like exposed ankle, which for me, I feel like when my ankles are exposed, I can better control my body temperature.
Oh, interesting.
There's just something about the jean meeting the shoe that makes me too hot.
Yeah, there's no escape valve.
There's no escape valve, even in the middle of the winter. But I've been stopping strangers on the street to tell them about these jeans because working from home is amazeballs. You know why? I don't have to get dressed every day.
Yeah.
I just wake up and I put on these pair of jeans that I bought 3 weeks ago every day for the last 3 weeks.
Have you washed them yet?
I did. I washed them once.
Yeah. That's it. That, you know, I mean, you know, if you're not moving around, you're not sweating, you do whatever you want with your jeans.
No, Bethany, I went hiking in these jeans in the Alaskan rainforest and then wore them 18 times after that without washing them.
Okay, well, so you're in the breaking them in period. Fall into the Gap.
They should.
So I have a funny announcement that Kathleen, I thought I told you about, and then you were like, wait, what, when it got announced on social media? And I was like, oh, I thought I told you.
This is like my friend who forgot to tell me she was pregnant and then put it up on Facebook. And I was like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, this is a little bit less important than that, but does involve a baby. So before I moved to New York, I worked at a radio station in Minneapolis. It was my very first radio job. Mm-hmm. This was the job I went into from a bank and was like, well, I'm going to do radio now because I hate banking.
Yes.
And it's at a station called KDWB. And it's a morning show called Dave Ryan in the Morning Show.
Okay.
And their co-host, Fallon, who is the woman who took over after I left, is very much pregnant. She is like 9 months pregnant right now.
Yeah, wow.
So when she goes into labor any day, literally any day right now, she could be going into labor right now for all we know, I'm going to be filling in for her.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Wait, so are you taking an airplane trip?
Yes, I'll be taking an airplane trip. So I'll be in Minneapolis for at least the first week.
Okay.
So that I can be in studio with Dave and Steve and sort of get the vibe back. And then luckily I can do it from New York as well, but I'm definitely going to want to be there.
I'm so excited for you.
Me too.
This is kind of like going back to your roots.
Yeah, this was the first radio job I ever had. Dave really taught me everything I know about radio because I didn't get trained in it at all. I just got into it from an improv background. And so I'm really flattered that they asked. I'm really excited to go back. I have a lot of friends there. And I'm excited for Fallon because she's like starting her family.
Maybe you're going to like meet some new celebs and stuff.
I've been listening to the show, to their show, and I've been like getting back on, and they do a lot of fun stuff. So you can definitely listen, and I'll post all the links where you can listen, but it's exciting.
Speaking of Top 40, did you see what Demi Lovato posted, I guess within the last week?
The Her Cellular Light picture.
Oh my God. I praise Queen Demi.
She's great.
Because it's one of the most honestly refreshing things that I've read in a long time. So she was in a bikini and she like had her leg up sort of like on a stair. She was in sort of, it looked like one of those mini dipping pools that you get at really fancy hotels.
Yeah, I was going to say like if you have a hotel room that has a little pool that looks outside and then you go into the like ocean from where your little pool is.
And it was unedited and the sunlight was hitting her cellulite. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know what, folks? Every other bikini picture that I've ever posted has been edited.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is not.
Didn't she say something like, I'm tired of being ashamed of my body or something?
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting because it is exhausting to constantly be trying to fake who you are or control the narrative of who you are, control pictures. Like, It is really exhausting, and to constantly be filled with shame for your whole life about your body it really does take a toll on you.
And when you're a celebrity like that or some sort of Instagram influencer and your career depends off of you posting pictures of your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you open yourself up to all sorts of criticism.
Yeah.
Like, it is really easy to just do a little airbrush here, a little airbrush there, lighten it up so you look a little bit better.
Totally.
And cellulite is something that really hits home for me because it's something that I've had literally since I was 9 years old.
It's very normal. And for a lot of women, it's very hereditary. Like, some women have a lot, no matter how thin or thick they are, and vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, my mom has it. My aunt has it. It was just something that I was destined to have. And I remember being bathing suit shopping. I was like 16 years old. And this is why I'm thankful for the body positive movement as it stands now.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 16 and was bathing suit shopping. And I probably was teeny tiny. And I thought I was, you know, a giant whale.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened up the door and I said, Mom, I wish I could get a leg transplant.
Oh, gosh.
And my mom, very well-meaning, looked at me and said, honey, you know, if I could afford liposuction or whatever, I would let you do whatever you wanted to your body. Because my mom felt my pain because I literally have her legs just 40 years younger. And now looking back, I wouldn't say that to my daughter, you know.
Totally.
But back then it was a different time, you know. Yeah. Now I would say if the table was turned, what we know now about the body positive movement, I would say, you know, you're beautiful the way you are. Mm-hmm. Don't let your body dictate how you feel about yourself, that kind of stuff. But I was just I felt so happy that Demi Lovato posted that picture. And I hope other celebrities and other big time social media influencers follow suit.
Yeah, there was I've been seeing more and more of it, and it just, you know, it is like what you said, Kathleen, where because people can comment and pretty anonymously, even if it's their own Instagram page or whatever, you really do. It's so much easier to just smooth something out than it is to handle all of the hateful comments or the judgmental comments you'll get from people.
Yeah.
It really does take so much mental strength to post something unedited because she's going to see all the comments of people who are supportive, but also people who are like, eh, you really should smooth it out. And those people do exist, and those people are assholes.
Yeah, those people should crawl into a hole and never comment on Instagram ever again.
And like, I would say to someone, because there's someone listening right now who says, I wish I could get a leg transplant. You know, someone's looking in the mirror and going, oh. And what I would say to that person is, are your legs strong? Mm-hmm. Can you walk?
Mm-hmm.
If those two things are true, you have more than a lot of people do, which is a lot of people can't walk. A lot of people can walk, but not very far.
Yeah.
Not everyone has both of their legs. Like, there's just, if you really put it in perspective, cellulite does not change who you are, and it does not change your value.
So silly.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are winning at life, just like Demi Lovato.
Yes.
Can I tell you, on my way in here today to record at Audio Boom Studio NYC, there is an old man. He must have been, I don't know, 75, 80 years old.
Yeah.
On a Segway.
A Segway. Roll. Like those old, like those things you lean forward on and they go forward.
Yes, exactly.
I dated a guy who gave Segway tours of Minneapolis.
No,
once.
You didn't. Uh-huh. No. What is there to see on the Segway tour of Minneapolis?
Know. I don't know. I think he took him along the Stone Arch Bridge and like looked at all the, like look at the river. Yeah, he would like, we would hang out and then he'd have to get up early the next morning and go give a Segway tour like 8 in the morning.
It.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? It doesn't sound like a bad life.
No, he seemed to enjoy it.
It probably was pretty fun, and he got to share his love of Minneapolis with tourists.
And
right?
His love of Segways.
Segways. So I just saw this old man rolling down 34th Street on his Segway with his rolly suitcase behind him, and he was using his iPhone to navigate in the front. And I thought, this guy is winning at life right now.
Wait, so he had one arm behind him with the suitcase,
yeah.
One arm in front of him with the phone,
yeah.
Neither arm on the Segway.
Neither arm on the Segway. It was the type of Segway where the it's like one of the new ones. The pole doesn't come up for you to hang on to. You just lean onto it.
How do you not fall over?
It's balance. This guy must have excellent core strength. He was dressed in Dockers and a sweater, but I don't know. There might be yoga clothes on underneath that.
He was like in his 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
You, I know. Winning at life, man.
That's the way to do it. You don't have to walk at all. I wish Segways were I got to get my steps in, though. That's the problem.
Oh, so speaking of Fitbit, can I tell you?
Yes.
That's how I count my steps with my Fitbit.
Yeah.
How do you count your steps?
I have this watch that Dennis, it's his old one. It's this company called Withings that kind of monitors all of your activity. I don't always wear it as a watch because I have all these other watches I love. So I sometimes like put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
But one of the things it does is it counts your steps.
Yeah. So I'm obsessed with my Fitbit. I always try to convert people. So Fitbit, Bethany,
yes,
is coming out with a new one where you can have an Amazon Alexa on your wrist at all times.
No. First of all, we have to stop saying Alexa because it triggers people's.
I'm sorry.
No, Kathleen, I've been talking to you about and how this is going to, she's going to trap you in your own home because she controls your lights. She controls your oven. She controls your iron. She controls your fridge. She controls your door lock. Soon she's going to be like, I'm going to lock your front door. I'm going to turn the oven up and I'm going to bake you alive. And there's nothing you can do because I control all of it.
And now she lives on my wrist.
What's the purpose of that?
It is so I can like ask her questions
like,
all
the time.
What kind
of questions are you going to ask
her? It's the Versa 2, the Fitbit Versa 2. They should really advertise on this podcast. I talk about them all the time.
They shouldn't because I will rip on them all the time. Also, I'm still concerned. I still don't understand what you're going to ask the Versa 2 when she's on your wrist at all times.
In the commercial, there's a woman at a spin class and she's having a horrible time and she looks
she's
at
tapping
her,
back poorly.
She's tapping back very poorly. She's going around the world, but she's not feeling it. And she says to her wrist, like, find me a yoga class. Because, like, obviously spin is not her thing.
That's hurtful in the moment.
Yeah. Or there's, like, a cute one where there's, like, a guy and a girl on a first date. And the guy's like, are we going to go on another date? You know? So it's, like, it's cute. The commercial's good.
Okay. So we know that you can use it for finding a new yoga class or flirting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, more steps in. Eat more cheese.
I'm just worried about your safety, Kathleen. I'm just worried about your safety.
We had a taste bud, Sarah from Des Moines. She called in. She left a voicemail exclusively for you. This happened today, Bethany.
Okay.
Two voicemails in a row where she just wanted to give a shout out to cheese. Cheese and you specifically.
Cheese. Are we going to play those at the end of
that? She's from Iowa. She's from Des Moines. She wanted you to know that she was buying cheese.
I fully support that.
Can I tell you what I've been eating lately?
Yes.
Do you know medjool dates?
No.
They're like a specific kind of dried date.
Okay.
Okay. Cut it in half.
Yeah.
Take the pit out.
Okay.
Warm it up in the microwave for 10 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Put a little slice of brie cheese
Sounds
on that.
That's very good.
Bethany, I'm telling you, it'll change your life.
I'll do you one better. Take that date. Split that date in half. You put a little, what are your feelings on goat cheese?
I like goat cheese.
Okay, put a little goat cheese on that.
Uh-huh.
Sprinkle a little honey on that.
Oh.
Honey on it. Put it on top of a pear.
Oh.
Put that pear on top of an egg,
uh-huh,
which is on top of a English muffin.
Oh.
So we're going to review. You have an English, this is from the bottom up, floor
uh-huh
up.
Uh-huh.
Let me get you on the ground
uh-huh
up. English muffin toasted, yeah, nooks and crannies.
Uh-huh.
A little butter. It's fine.
You're the architect of my breakfast.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Yeah, I got
uh-huh
you.
Uh-huh.
And then do like a fried egg on top,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
whatever, sunny side, whatever you like.
Yeah.
Then you're going to do a pear. You're going to do a fig. You're going to do a little cheese and you're going to do a little honey. It's going to knock your socks off if I remember it correctly. It might taste awful. A couple of things. I'm not entirely positive what kind of cheese it was.
No, goat cheese sounds about right.
But I do remember eating this at a restaurant that later closed.
You, me, and Dennis need to go to London. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
There's a new shop opening in London. Gourmet vegan cheese.
Vegan cheese?
It's called, and they make it sound French, so it's even fancier.
It's not just called nut cheese, which is what some vegan cheese is called, which is very unfortunate.
La fromagerie.
La fromagerie.
How clever is that? You get it faux?
Oh, fromagerie. Oh, that's very French.
Instead of like fromage.
Yeah.
Fromage.
Fromage.
Yes.
I like that.
La.
La.
Yeah, so we need to go to London. I mean, the blue cheese, the vegan blue cheese really does look like regular blue cheese.
And it's just nuts, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
I'm into it.
My friend Taylor is a farmer. Uh-huh. She cracked an egg this morning. You know, she has chickens in her yard.
Oh, no. Was there a chick inside?
Do you know what was inside her egg?
No.
Another egg, Bethany.
Wait, what?
There was like a yolk and a white, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was another full shell inside of her egg with another egg inside of it.
Shut the hell up.
Is that not the weirdest thing you've ever seen?
What would cause that?
I don't know. She put a picture of it on Instagram. It was wild.
Can we repost that?
Yeah, of
Will
course.
Can we repost that?
Yeah, an egg inside of an egg.
The world is crazy. Really quickly before we go into the episode, ear infection update.
Oh, yes.
My ear infection, my eardrum is still perforated. I see the ENT. Today is Monday. I see him Wednesday.
Yeah.
I have to fly to Minneapolis soon. Cross your fingers that my eardrum doesn't explode in my head because of the perforation.
I will be praying for you.
Thank you.
And girlfriend, I don't pray that often.
I know.
It means a lot. I pray when I need a parking spot. speaking of your ear, we got an email from a taste bud about organ donation. I made a joke last podcast that I would give you my ear if I could, but I wouldn't give you my liver because
my kidney
because I don't drink enough water and I drink too much rosé.
Right. So this is from Emily, and she emailed us. She said, "Love the pod. Listening to the newest episode, you two were joking about donating an ear and then a kidney when Kathleen said, quote, 'You wouldn't want my kidney.'" Which we were joking, of course.
My license does say that I'm an organ donor, for the record.
As am I.
Thank you.
But Emily says, "I work for an organ procurement organization, and since starting here, it's become my mission to thwart statements and misconceptions about organ and tissue donation that I come across." She says, "Why? Because I used to think all of these and more before I started here. One of the most common refrains to 'Why are you not a registered donor?' is, 'Oh, you wouldn't want my organs.' The truth is, people have no idea how resilient their organs are. We've had our donor from every age, race, and status in life. We suffer from an opioid crisis, particularly harshly in our region. And when these people lose their battle, a lot of their families choose to donate their organs to bring some sense of purpose out of this senseless loss." So she said, that's right. Drug users can and frequently do become donors and save lives. Hepatitis carriers can, since it's curable now. There are even cases where they're working on transplanting HIV donors.
Wow.
Of course, every case is different, but that is where the trained medical team comes in. The point is, don't rule yourself out from saving the life of another after you have passed on. By the way, she said, a lot of people apparently think that if you're an organ donor, doctors won't try as hard to save your life.
I never thought that.
She said,
but
doctors.
I can see where people are coming from.
I can see that. But she said, doctors will do everything they can to save you. They won't give up. They have to. Like, they have to try and save you. They take the Hippocratic Oath. So anyway, thank you again, Emily, for that. And she said we could give her another flowery, fun, made-up name, but it's too late. I gave her the name. So thank you for clearing that up. And of course, we were joking, but it's probably not the best kind of joke to make. So
I take it back. Bethany, you can have all of my organs.
Thank you.
Just not my sex organs.
Okay.
Because I would like to continue to use those.
I mean, I think that, yes. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Uh-huh.
Kathleen, let's talk about the perfect way to create a shoe.
Yes.
Okay. You take a bunch of water bottles.
Uh-huh.
You recycle them.
I love recycling.
Yeah. You are famously a very big recycler.
Mm-hmm.
You take that super soft thread that you just made and you weave that thread into one piece that is one shoe. So there is no seam to rub up against you. There is no break-in period. All it is a comfy shoe that hugs your foot in a gajillion different designs. How would you feel about that?
I would feel amazing about that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go ahead and guess that you are talking about about Rothy's.
Rothy's. They're so comfortable, made out of recycled water bottles.
They're stylish, they're versatile, and they go with everything from yoga pants to dresses to skirts to jeans. I mean, I wear jeans every day.
Mm-hmm. That one particular pair.
That's just one pair of jeans that I put on every single day. They go really well with my Rothy's.
Rothy's has diverted over 25 million water bottles from landfills. They're fully machine washable. They're manufactured in a zero waste factory, and they ship directly in the shoebox. So there's no giant wasteful box. It's like, there they are.
I have my eye on a new pair.
Which ones?
The flats, the pointy flats in leopard.
Ooh, I see. I was looking at the Slate Prep. The loafer. Right now I have Mocha the Loafer, which is what I want to... It sounds like a TV show. Mocha the Loafer.
You should write a script.
It's like a shoe that solves crimes by night. By day, it's a shoe. By night, it solves all the crimes.
And it doesn't have a cape?
Mocha the Loafer. Yeah, it has a cape. It's made from one piece of recycled water bottles.
No, Rothy's has a new pointy toe flat that comes in leopard. And, you know, I'm Jersey, so leopard is a neutral.
Check out all of the amazing styles available right now at Rothy's.com/taste.
Just go to Rothy's.com/taste to get your new favorite flats. That's Rothy's.com.
Comfort, style, sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to Rothy's.com/taste today. So Kathleen, let's talk a little bit about the witching hour.
So I was always under the impression that the witching hour was when you look at the clock and it's 11:11 or 12:12.
Oh, that's interesting.
3:33.
Oh, that's interesting.
I might be getting it confused with another term, but there's also like a thing that happens when you do that too.
Yeah, definitely there is. And that is one thing about the witching hour, that there's very different definitions of it for people. Some people say it's the hour between 3 and 4. Some people say it's between midnight and 3. Some people say between 2 and 4.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense that there would be some sort of different views on it. But I'm going to give you a little information about the witching hour because, as I said, Dennis keeps waking up at 3, and I'm convinced it's because of ghosts, but it might be because of biology.
I mean, you live in a part of New York where, infamously, there's ghosts walking the streets.
Yes, and I did some research on my apartment, and at least 3 people have died in my bedroom. So
in your bedroom?
Yeah.
In your bedroom?
Yeah. It's a very old building. There was a lot of history.
There were some people who would run screaming for the hills right now if they knew that about their house.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that, like, they seemed like fine people. Mm-hmm. You know, the deaths were
old age.
Old age and sickness.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, hatchets or bats or knives or guns.
Not that I ever want anyone to die via those ways that you just mentioned. But
right.
Exciting ways to
Very
die.
Very exciting ways to die. So let's talk about the witching hour. So some sources here. This is from Wikipedia. I also got Yahoo.com, and I'll list them all at the
sources.
The notes. Yep. Mm-hmm. From AstonishingLegends.com, ParanormalSchool.com.
Paranormal School?
Uh-huh.
Can we attend?
Yes, we can. And Reader's Digest, which is very fun. And also Ranker.
An oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, exactly. So the witching hour, or devil's hour in folklore, is a time of night associated with supernatural events. So creatures like witches, demons, and ghosts are thought to appear and to be at their most powerful during the witching hour.
Huh.
Black magic, if you're into that sort of dark stuff, A, don't do it. B, thought to be most effective at this time.
No, I kind of want to try black magic,
No,
though.
You do not, because it comes back at you threefold.
Okay, well, black is your favorite color.
I know, but it's
your power
least,
color.
It's my least favorite kind of magic.
All right.
I'm a character of contradictions.
What's the opposite of black magic?
White magic.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But most magic, fun fact, it's a little bit gray.
Mm.
Yeah.
Most magic is just a sleight hand and a trick of the eye.
Chris Angel, he's a mind freak. He's going to freak with your mind. I had the biggest crush on Chris Angel for a period of
you
time.
You would. He's totally your type of guy.
There was a period of time that I was just like, every douchebag, you're for me. If you have bedazzled jeans and you're a dude and you're wearing a shirt with a gothic cross on it, you're for me.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. And yes, I can totally see how you're into him. I mean, I'm not into him, but I can see how you were.
He was a mind freak.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the Western Christian tradition, the hour between 3 and 4 a.m. was considered a period of peak supernatural activity due to the absence of prayers in the canonical hours during this period.
Yeah, because people are not awake. They're not praying.
Yeah, exactly. The phrase witching hour was first recorded in 1835. Women who were caught outside during this time without a good enough excuse were sometimes executed because they were thought to be witches, which is dumb. Which is dumb, not witches dumb.
I mean, like, okay.
Which is cool.
I've never eaten a piece of pizza that I did not regret at 3 a.m. There's always so much regret
there's
at the
lot.
3 a.m. hour.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that, yeah, people out at 3 a.m., they should probably just go home.
Go home.
Go home.
Not worth killing someone over.
No, but it's, not worth executing a woman over.
No.
What about a man? I would like to say, what about those Victorian men out at 3 a.m.? What happened to them?
They probably had a good reason.
They probably got to live.
Quote unquote. Mm. All right. Psychological literature suggests that apparitional experiences, seeing ghosts and sensed presences, are most common between the hours of 2 and 4, corresponding with a 3 a.m. peak in the amount of melatonin in the body.
Mm.
So some people believe that the specific time of 3 a.m. is a deliberate mocking of the death of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. because Jesus is said to have died at 3 in the afternoon. So doing it at 3 a.m. is the opposite.
Oh,
I see. To be a mockery. Kind of like how in demonic movies you'll see the cross turned upside down,
yes.
which is meant to be a mockery.
Yeah, the mirror image.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Like looking in the mirror and seeing evil you staring back.
Yeah, it's you with a goatee.
I never really thought about the timetable in which Jesus Christ was killed or born.
I guess that sort of thought that's the story.
I get it.
Also, the number 3 is, if you're into Christianity, you're a Christian, you know that that's synonymous with like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So the number 3 is, again, like meant to be a mockery of that. But there's a paranormal researcher named Ben Eno, and he says, because we believe in things like the witching hour or the devil's hour, that could be either fueling its power or we could be seeing what we want to see.
Can I tell you something kind of spooky?
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was woken up at 3 a.m. Mm. It was like 2:59, but
yeah,
close,
that counts. Yeah.
Close enough.
We
right?
round up here, yeah.
Because I felt something touching my legs. This was in my old apartment. But yeah, I like 100%. I 100% believe.
Wait, so what happened? Something touched your, like.
I like woke up because I felt something touching my legs. Now, I'm a very vivid dreamer.
Yeah.
Could have all been in my dreams. But
sure.
I remember waking up and looking at the clock and it was 2:59. Like I felt like there was hands on my legs.
Like someone like gripping your ankles
yeah.
or someone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's unnerving.
Yeah.
Was Neil on the foot of your bed hanging out?
He was sleeping next to me.
Ooh.
Yeah, 2:59 a.m. So I'm like, I totally believe this.
That's very unnerving.
I wonder if there are certain statistics about car crashes happening in the 3 o'clock hour.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Or in witching hour.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the logical reason would be that people are tired.
Super sleepy. Super sleepy. But it also could be they see a body in the road and
yes.
the body's not there.
Yes.
Witching hour.
I'm just saying.
It's the witching hour. So another thing about the witching hour is that a lot of people wake up around 3 a.m., like we said. This is said to be in relation to something wicked, but it could also be that you're in your REM sleep cycle during this period of time, usually. Your heart rate, your cardiac pressure, your breathing rate, your arterial pressure becomes irregular at this time, which is why you might feel anxious when you suddenly wake up. So they're saying a lot of it might just be that's when a sleep cycle comes to an end
mm-hmm.
and you sort of pop awake at 3 a.m.
Circadian rhythm.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very possible it's also that. But...
Uh-huh.
There are many evil stories of things that have happened at 3 a.m. So if you do believe the veil is thinner at 3 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
witches can get through, demons can get through, ghosts can get through at 3 a.m. and they have something to tell you.
Wait, you know what I just remembered?
What?
Do you know a few episodes ago I was telling you where I was visited by spirit?
Yes!
Bethany, that was right before 3 a.m.
Okay, this is crazy because they do say that the veil is thinner right at 3 a.m.
Okay.
If you're going to actively try to wake up at 3 in the morning, you have to be a little bit responsible. This is from the paranormal school
website. We should do it on Halloween.
And either make contact with something. Like, you have to be super...
Okay. We should do it on Halloween, the night before Halloween and mm-hmm. on Halloween. We mm-hmm. should both set our alarms at 3 a.m.
Okay, I'm down for it.
Okay.
Here's a 3-step process of what to do.
Okay.
Number 1, stay calm. People will wake up at 3 a.m. and they'll feel paralyzed. They might be unable to move. They might feel like something is on their chest. It's usually sleep paralysis, but don't panic. Stay calm. Take deep breaths. Think positive thoughts. Surround yourself with good energy. You don't want to attract bad spirits to you. Good, positive spirits.
Okay.
Okay. Be open to contact. If you're willing, let yourself be open to receiving messages from spirits or ghosts, but you have to be firm. They do not get to take over your body. This is what Zach Bagans does in Ghost Adventures all the time. He's like, you can come and take over my body. And it's like, no, dude, that is a super bad idea because now this thing knows that like it can just go into you whenever it wants to. And all of a sudden you're hacking up people. You don't even know you're doing it
yeah.
because you have a demon inside.
Well, that's like in any vampire movie that's worth its salt.
Yes.
The vampire cannot come in unless you invite them in.
You
and then
have to
once
invite
you
them
invite
in.
them in, then they have access to your home forever.
All hell breaks loose. It's like Black Eyed Children. You have to invite them in, but once you invite them in, people go and die.
Yeah, don't invite anybody in.
Never.
Keep everybody outside.
Everyone.
Stranger danger.
Yeah. Number three, keep a journal. So if you find that you're waking up at 3 a.m. consistently, write down what you're dreaming, write down what you're feeling. You might see a bit of like a routine or a pattern is the word I'm looking for.
That is something that I keep meaning to do. Do you know, I was watching the movie Reality Bites last night. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, I've seen it so many times.
And Janine Garofalo, she keeps this little diary next to her bed. Every time she sleeps with a guy, she like writes down his name.
That's right.
And like what number he is in her like, you know, her list of people she slept with. And I'm like,
that.
I need to start writing things down as soon as I wake up in the morning.
I really love the scene in that where they're at the diner and they're talking about her funeral, if she was on 90210 and how they'd all be wearing chokers.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take over your topic.
I know, that's okay. It's such a good movie.
So case in point, or rather lesson, that we're all going to keep notebooks next to our beds to write down our journals, our experience with demons, and also how many people we've slept with.
Yes. And then lastly, I'm going to give you a few stories of things that had happened at 3 a.m.
Okay.
Okay. So this one may not be true. It's from Reddit. It's from Redditor Serbo. It's called The Unseen Patient. The ambulance company I used to work for had a haunted ambulance, quote unquote, Rig 12. A lot of EMTs had stories about it, but I never put much stock in paranormal stuff. That is, until I had my own experience with Rig 12. My partner and I were working in a rural community at 3 a.m., and it was pitch dark and completely quiet. We were both dozing. I was in the driver's seat. She was in the passenger seat. I woke up to a muffled voice, and I thought my partner was talking. I told her I was trying to sleep, and I closed my eyes. I distinctly heard a male voice say, "Oh my God, am I dying?" followed by a few seconds of heavy breathing. My partner and I sat up straight and looked back into the patient compartment where it sounded like the voice had come from. Things were quiet for a couple of seconds. Then we heard the click of an oxygen bottle regulator and a hiss as if it was leaking. I turned on the lights. We ran out of the rig. I thought a transient person might have climbed in while we were asleep, so we opened the rear doors. No one was there. I checked the oxygen bottles. Neither was opened. We didn't sleep much after that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Here's another one.
Okay.
This is from Ranker.com. Creepy, stranger than fiction stories. This is a story that supposedly happened to a real person. A few years ago, I was living in a fairly nice apartment complex, having a cigarette on my balcony around 3 a.m. on a Tuesday night. I'm usually on my phone, but I got this weird chill and looked up to see a middle-aged man walking down the sidewalk across the complex. It struck me that he did not belong here, and I realized he wasn't one of the residents. As I was thinking this, he suddenly stopped and looked right at me, making eerie, way too long eye contact, and then rushed off between the buildings in the opposite direction of my apartment. I told my husband about it and joked that if we get a knock on our door in the next 15 minutes, we can assume it's that creeper. Sure as hell, 10 minutes later, there's a quiet, faint tap, tap, tap on our door. My eyes probably popped out of my head. My husband jumped to grab his gun from the other room. I slowly walked up to the door to look through the peephole. Never look through the peephole.
No, no, because they can't. Okay, can't they see you back? Can't they put their eyeball to the peephole and just see you back?
They can see. They can't see through it, but they can see light or dark. So if it's light in there and then it suddenly gets dark, they know you're looking through the peephole. I learned that from a Janet Jackson video. So I slowly walked up to the door and looked through the peephole, holding my breath. And there was the man I had seen looking right at me through the peephole. I know he wasn't able to actually see me, but the image of him looking right into my eye still freaks me out to this day. My husband walked up to the door, stared through the peephole, and shouted, "What?" in his threatening voice. Apparently, the man had his hand on the doorknob and jerked back in surprise to hear a man's voice. Dude asked for Jeremy or some made-up name. My husband told him to leave. After BSing a little longer, the guy finally walked downstairs, only to peer up into my living room window from the lawn. I closed the blinds and he moved over to stare at me through the balcony door.
Are you kidding me?
He didn't move on until after I shut that one too. We called security, gave a clear description and everything. A few days later, we got a report from our complex that an apartment had been robbed around that time that night. What keeps me up at night is this question. If you're going to rob an apartment, why would you go to the one that you definitely know a woman is awake and home, seemingly alone at? Two more stories, and they're both two sentences long.
Okay.
The first one.
I'm like so freaked out right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, same. This is again from the Ranker article. All of the alarms in my house went off at exactly midnight. Then later in the night, All of the phones in my house rang at exactly 3 a.m. I watched The Babadook the day before with my girlfriend. Needless to say, I was terrified. That's that story.
Babadook. Bethany, now that we're talking about this, all of this crazy stuff is coming back to me. A few weeks ago, I had a guest in my guest bedroom, and I was in my bedroom with my husband, and I woke up, and again, it was like almost exactly 3 a.m., and I swore up and down that I heard the phone ringing. Because I have a landline, very retro of me.
Yes.
I swore up and down that I heard the phone ringing. And my cousin and my husband, you're crazy. We didn't hear anything.
Really?
Isn't that crazy? Oh, my God.
You need to start writing this stuff down. Start writing this stuff down. Write it down.
I will. Start right now.
Lastly.
Okay.
You've heard of the Amityville Horror House.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's a good movie.
So, while those stories may not be true, The Haunting is based on a true murder that happened in that house,
okay,
which they say caused all this paranormal activity. The murders were when Ronald Butch DeFeo Jr. murdered 6 members of his own family. That happened for real. It happened at 3 in the morning.
No.
I will leave you with that.
You know, this is the time of year where we need to remind ourselves to open our hearts and minds to paranormal activity.
Oh, yes.
Because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this time of year.
And it's going to happen soon.
And it's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
It is almost the autumn solstice.
I have my solstice cape ready to go.
It is almost. You know what? I should sleep over your house.
Yeah.
On either the autumn solstice or Halloween.
Yes.
And we should wake up and do like some sort of like seance at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know if I want to do seance. Here's the thing.
No, Bethany, let's just do it.
If you're going to do anything like that, you don't want to do it in your own house because you could open some sort of portal and it's just like not a good idea. Mm. So let's do it in your house.
Okay. We could do it in my house. Okay, I'm cool with that.
Speaking of which, have you gotten a new kitten yet?
Bethany, I met my new kitten this weekend.
What's her name?
His name is going to be Juno.
Oh, like the movie?
Like I know. Okay, so
like the pregnant teen movie?
My husband is going to be so mad that you just said that because the last time we got a cat, we named her Cannoli. I mean, her name already was Cannoli, but it made sense because we had just gotten back from Italy. And so because the city of Juno, the spelling is a little bit tough.
There's a lot of EAU going on.
I mean, considering that this podcast is called Acquired Taste, and I just learned a few months ago how to spell acquired.
There's a C in it.
We're gonna spell it Juno like the movie. My husband is so mad about it, but we came to a compromise. He's a little boy, and I went to go meet him on Sunday. Bethany, he is so small. I held him on my chest for a few minutes, and he's basically like the size of like from my chin to my clavicle.
Oh.
And he just nuzzled right underneath my chin on my neck. And I pick him up on Wednesday.
Are you adopting him?
I'm adopting him. Of course I'm adopting him from Happy Homes, Inc.
We love them.
You got all your cats. I got my cat Cannoli.
If you follow Happy Homes on Instagram, good luck. Because you're going to be adopting 17 cats really soon.
I know. But you know what? I feel guilty that I didn't adopt a black cat. Because black, and this little guy, I'll post a picture of him on my Instagram at WebGirlKathleen. He's a cute little gray and white tuxedo type little boy. Oh, he's adorable. But black cats are hard to adopt.
People
are superstitious. They don't want to adopt them.
And they also say that, I've also heard that in the age of like social media, it's harder to get a good picture of a black cat.
Yes, it is.
It's like, but they're so, I have a black cat. I know. He's the sweetest baby.
So if I ever adopt a third one, and I don't think I ever will because the rule is you can't be outnumbered by children or cats.
That's dumb.
That's my rule. Wait, are you saying it's dumb because I just realized that you're outnumbered and I'm such a rude biatch?
I'm saying that's a dumb rule.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I did buy a mahogany bench for my cats this weekend because I am fiscally responsible.
No, you a mahogany bench for your cats.
Okay, okay.
Is Dennis going to use this as a squatty potty like he does your other cat couch?
If he even tries, I will come at him. I found it and I was like, what person? It's like a child-sized mahogany bench that I found at a vintage store.
Bethany, it looks like a Victorian bench for a small child.
Yeah, and as we were riding home on the subway with it, I said, like, what parent would spoil their kid by buying him a mahogany bench? And then he looked at me and he said, you just bought it for your cats. And I was like, oh, no.
Is that the 1930s version of that little, like, lounge chair that everybody goes to Pottery Barn Kids to get there.
Which one is that?
Basically, if you have a kid, somebody's probably gifted this to you or you have purchased it. You go to Pottery Barn Kids. They have like these little club chairs. They're like fake club chairs. They're all plush and whatever. And like a baby sits in it and you get it monogrammed.
Oh, come on.
It comes in like lavender gingham and like
your
whatever.
Your kid doesn't need that.
No, I'm telling you, everybody has them.
Your kid doesn't need that.
Everybody's kid has them. If you put your kid on Instagram, you're putting your kid in that monogram chair from Pottery Barn Kids. So whatever, your little mahogany Victorian bench is the 1930s version of this monogrammed chair thing that people do these days.
I'll just say, like, your kid doesn't need a monogram chair. Your cat, however, absolutely needs a monogram chair.
100%.
All right. We all love to refresh our snack drawers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But when's the last time you refreshed your sock drawer?
If you can't remember, it's probably time for an upgrade.
Bombas socks are made with comfort innovations like arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed. That's just all sock speak for super comfortable.
And they come in hundreds of colors and styles, making them perfect for men, women, and kids.
I'm actually low on laundry right now, so I'm wearing not Bombas socks. And walking here, I was thinking, why is walking so uncomfortable? I realized it's because I've gotten so accustomed to that arch support that Bombas have.
Yeah.
That wearing not Bombas socks feels like I'm a victim.
I got my mom addicted to Bombas too, mm-hmm. and she texted me the other day and accused me of stealing a pair of her Bombas socks.
They cause family fights.
It's like, how dare you? And yes, I did.
Bombas has a new line of merino wool socks that are made from soft, warm, and naturally moisture-wicking merino wool designed with all of Bombas' classic comfort features.
From keeping cool and dry on your morning run to staying comfortable in your office's freezing air conditioning, Bombas socks are ready to work as hard as you do.
And of course, for every pair of socks you buy, Bombas will donate a pair to someone in need.
Ugh, Bombas are what feet daydream about.
So buy your Bombas at bombas.com/taste today, and you'll get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/taste for 20% off. bombas.com/taste.
Getting in shape is not about losing weight for me. It's about healthier habits and feeling better about myself because my life is busy. I need stamina to keep up with my life.
Absolutely. And I also want to be more in tune with my body's needs, practice more self-care. One of the reasons I think I'm not sleeping very well is because my eating and my working out has been a little bit erratic lately.
Yeah.
And that's why we both love Noom, Kathleen.
Yes. Bethany, you need to start checking in with your Noom app every day. I'm so addicted to it. Basically, it's a part of my daily routine.
So Noom is a habit-changing solution that helps you learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. It's based on a cognitive behavioral approach, and it teaches you not only what you're doing, but why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And it also arms you with the tools to break bad habits and replace them with better ones.
I was so excited this morning because my Noom app lately has been like, hello, you need to eat more green foods. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm like disappointing you. I'm going to do better, Noom. So I put baby spinach and asparagus in my omelet this morning.
Was it delicious?
It was delicious, and Noom was so proud of me.
And that's why we love Noom too. You're human. So if you go off track, they don't shame you. They just give you tips to help you get back on track tomorrow.
Yeah. Noom is not a diet. It's a healthy and easy way of life.
So you don't have to change it all in one day. Take that pressure off of yourself. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/taste.
What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/taste to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/taste. The easy to stick to way of life. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
So I'm dealing with this thing lately. It's no secret. I don't have a full-time job anymore. I literally only work for myself.
Yes, correct.
I work on this podcast and I'm a freelancer in a myriad.
Myriad
different ways. So I've been suffering from imposter syndrome.
Okay. In what way?
In the way that when somebody now asks me what I do for a living,
yeah,
I think of not all the things that I've accomplished in my life.
Yeah.
I think of all the things that I have not accomplished in my life. And therefore, I'm confused and I can't give them an answer. So imposter syndrome.
Yes, let's define it.
If you're wondering what that is, according to empowerwork.com, they define it as imposter syndrome is the feeling that you haven't earned your success. You simply got lucky and you're a fraud or you're an imposter around people who actually earned it and know what they're doing. And it makes one feel that they do not have the skills or expertise to hold their current job, but instead they're there by chance. And that they think if anybody found out how little they know about their job, they would be fired immediately.
Uh-huh. I think so many people have this.
So I went to the Princeton Club in New York City.
What's that?
Last week. It's like it's a club for people who went to Princeton.
Did you go to Princeton?
I didn't go to Princeton. I had a friend who was invited to an event there and I was her plus one. Okay.
Oh, fun.
And she actually didn't go to Princeton either. She went to Ohio State.
Wait.
But Ohio State was having an event at the Princeton Club.
Wait, what? Okay.
And I didn't go to either of those schools and I went.
Okay.
And so I guess I need to start networking now that, like, I'm looking for freelance work.
Sure.
And I'm, like, you know, putting my phalanges out there, feeling the temperature of all these different industries out there, mm-hmm. figuring out what my next move is. And, you know, when you're at, like, a networking event, you're like, okay, so, hey, what do you do yeah. for a living?
Yeah.
I started telling people I was a retired radio producer turned podcaster. And, like, you and I have worked so hard and
yeah.
so long.
Yeah.
Bethany, today is our 200th episode.
Is it really?
It is our 200th episode. We've been working at this for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Since this podcast started, we have learned how to produce a podcast.
Yes.
We have learned how to audio edit.
Yes.
We have learned different ways to market our podcast.
Yes.
We have learned how to do commercials. We have learned how to compress audio to make it sound good. We have learned how to navigate RSS feeds in terms of podcasts. We have switched our podcasting platform 3 different times.
Our cast has changed.
Our cast has changed.
Our topics have changed.
I still can't come to terms with I'm good at what I do. And I know that there are other people out there mm-hmm. who feel the same way.
Totally.
I mean, how many people listening to this right now have an amazing job or are about to graduate school with their master's or their bachelor's or their PhD? And you're thinking to yourself, oh, I just got lucky.
Yeah. Or they just haven't figured out. They yeah. just haven't figured me out yet. They have. No one's caught on to the fact that I'm an idiot.
I remember sitting at my college graduation and thinking to myself, this is a mistake.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be earning a degree right now.
Yeah.
And so I went to this networking event and people are like, hey, what do you do? And I look at them blankly because I feel like an imposter.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Girl Wash Your Face, mm-hmm. Rachel Hollis, and she was talking about how she was at a workshop that Elizabeth Gilbert was giving. Elizabeth Gilbert is the author of Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah.
Amongst many other things. She actually has a new book out right now that I saw somebody reading on the subway. And Elizabeth Gilbert said to the room of people, go ahead and make a list of everything that you've accomplished in your life. It doesn't have to be a career. It's just make a list.
Yeah.
And Rachel Hollis talked about how basically she was looking around the room and it was a sea of people crying.
Oh, wow.
Because we judge ourselves for not what we have accomplished. We judge ourselves by what we haven't accomplished.
Yeah, totally.
So
totally.
A little part of me feels like as long as I haven't accomplished becoming a bajillionaire and world peace and curing cancer, that like I'll never really feel like I've gotten anything done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy when you start listing what you have accomplished because it's usually such a long list. I'm in a similar position where I have to actively practice saying I'm an actress, I'm a producer, I'm a writer,
yeah.
I'm a podcaster. Like, because to me, it sounds like an unearned, silly thing to say. And it goes back to what you said a couple episodes ago, which is we judge people based on their job title
yeah.
and what they do. That's the first question you ask someone at an event. What do you do for a living?
I'm a part of this group. It's called Dreamers and Doers. And it's a group for female entrepreneurs. And they just posted this thing on their Instagram account. And it says, happiness is the new rich. Inner peace is the new success. Health is the new wealth, and kindness is the new cool. And if you look at your success in terms of those terms,
yeah,
we're all successful.
Yeah.
I mean, most of us.
Here's the only issue I have with that.
Okay.
Kindness doesn't pay rent.
You're right. So like, no, you're right. You're 100% right.
I think that it becomes really easy to like live in mantras and then not do anything. And what I like about you, Kathleen, is that you actively take steps forward even through all of the insecurities that you're going through or the imposter syndrome you're feeling, you keep taking steps forward. And I think that that's the most important thing.
I want to go back to something you just said. We can't live in mantras.
Yeah.
Because how easy is it to take a powerful quote
mm-hmm.
from Instagram or Pinterest, wherever you're finding it, and repost it, and you feel powerful for like
yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then,
yeah,
Nothing. It washes away.
Yep.
I started thinking, since I know my number one goal is to create stuff and do DIY projects and create art projects and essentially be an artist, I'm going to make a poster. I'm going to put it in my room. So it's the first thing that I see every day when I wake up. And maybe this will help me to stop feeling like such an imposter, like such a fake.
Yeah.
You do great work, so actually do it.
Ooh, I like that very much.
Because
I like that very – did you just come up with that now?
No, I was thinking about that on the way in.
Yeah? I like that very much.
You do great work, so actually do it.
Yeah.
Because I get so caught up in the details of things being perfect before I can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, myself included, get caught up in everything being absolutely perfect before you move forward and you take the next step. And that's not what life is. Life is messy and you're gonna make mistakes.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody over the weekend about podcasting, actually, and they were saying they were wanting to listen to our podcast. And I said, start with the new episodes and work your way back.
Yes.
And he said, why? And I said, because you want to hear us after we've learned. If you listen to the first episode of this podcast, it was not what it is now. And seldom is it with anything. So
yeah,
let things change.
Yes.
We did it, but it wasn't perfect when we put it up. And you don't want to let the fear of it not being perfect prevent you from taking any steps forward.
You do great work, so actually do it. So how many times have you went to go start a project, but you need to finish something else first? So a teacher, if you are dying to be a teacher, so teach. You don't have to be a perfect teacher. Just teach.
Teach.
Give your heart to somebody. If you want to be a nurse, but you're still working on your nursing degree, take care of people.
Legally. In a legal way.
Or a friend or a family member. Or if you want to be an artist, just start drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Start painting. Whatever you're going to produce, it's not going to be very good at first.
It's sort of amazing how many people are successful and they're awful at what they do. You're probably better than that. So I think it's time for you to just show.
And not even in ways. You know what? This affects me in so many ways that don't even have to do with my career. Like, I feel like an imposter when I say to somebody, yeah, I'm athletic. Or yeah, I'm a hiker.
You can do a push-up and I can't. That's athletic to me.
How many people out there listening to this go to the gym every day and they run 2 miles on the treadmill or they're always on the, what's that machine where you climb? The stair climber, Stairmaster.
Yeah.
And if somebody said to you, are you athletic? You might say no.
I would say no.
And it's an absolute lie, Bethany. It's an absolute lie that you're not athletic.
It's true. Because, it's true.
It's a lie. It's a lie that you're not athletic. And if somebody said to you, hey, are you athletic? You would say no.
Because that's the narrative. That's what my narrative has always been. And I think that we fall into whatever we were when we were in high school.
Yeah. Or how many times has somebody come over to your house and you made a meal off the top of your head?
Never.
not you. Okay, not me.
But you, the general
and
you.
And someone is like, oh my God, this is amazing. You're a great cook. You're like, it was a mistake.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
I feel like an imposter in more ways in my life than I don't.
Wow. Yeah. That's.
And now that I look at it, I need to start thinking about the things that I have accomplished and not the things that I haven't.
Yeah.
Like diets make us feel like imposters. If someone said to ask me, do you think you're a healthy person? I'd be like, how many times have you loaded up your cart with fresh produce and all this healthy stuff, more than you could ever eat in a week? You know that it's going to go bad and you buy it anyway because you feel like an imposter, because you want to be that healthy person and you're not that healthy person. Really, by basically living a life, if you drink a glass of water every day, you're a healthy person. Like, you wake up every day and you can walk down the street, you're a healthy person.
Yeah. Your body physically is able to support you. Yeah. Could we all do more? Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
I think so. I think at the end of the day, it really just comes back to the narrative that you tell yourself over and over again. So if you tell yourself, I'm not athletic, well, then that's your truth. If you tell yourself, you know what? I am athletic. I am able to run. I am able to stair master. I've mastered those stairs.
Yeah.
Then yes, you are athletic. Change the narrative.
Famously, Sheryl Sandberg, COO of Facebook.
Yeah.
Lean In.
Yeah.
She has said in the past publicly, she feels like an imposter.
Yeah.
She's the freaking COO of Facebook. Some people might quantify that as the most powerful website in the world.
Yeah.
The most powerful social media network in the world. And she has she has said publicly before that she feels like an imposter. So I guess like maybe the first step is admitting that we all feel like imposters. Mm-hmm. And the second step is banishing those thoughts.
Yeah. You got the job for a reason.
That seat at the table belongs to you.
Yeah.
Whether that seat is your seat at motherhood, at your kitchen table, taking care of your children, or like the CEO of the company that you created.
Yeah. No, it's very true. And I think that there's so many different, like imposter syndrome takes so many different forms. And I think a big one is like workplace imposter syndrome, feeling like you didn't earn your job. Other people are going to catch on to the fact that you suck at it. But you know what? Even if that's the case, let's say that you did get hired by accident and they haven't realized that you suck and you actually do suck. There are so many people around you, and you could name like three right now who suck more than you.
Yes.
So at least you don't suck as bad as they do. Yeah. And you're actually probably pretty good
like
at your job.
Joe, he broke the copy machine last week and then blamed it on Karen.
And you know Susan doesn't come to work half the time.
No. And when she does come, she's been drinking.
She's been drinking.
She's been drinking. And you know mm-hmm. that your numbers are more solid.
Mm-hmm. Than Ted's.
Than Ted. I was trying to think of a name. Ted. I was trying to think of a name of nobody I know.
I don't know a single Ted. Do you know a Ted?
I don't. Ted Danson, but I don't know him personally.
I just know Ted from Schitt's Creek.
Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Poster. You do amazing work. Now freaking do it.
And laminate it so you can add in the freaking, but it won't like deface the poster.
No, you're right. Yeah. In case.
Plus laminating's fun.
In case somebody comes over.
Yeah.
Like children.
Yeah. Blah. Blah.
Bethany,
yeah.
Do you know how many pairs of Warby Parker glasses I have?
Do I want to know?
Like eight.
That's because Warby Parker has some of the best styles out there, but they're also affordable, which is sort of crazy.
And just like their vintage aesthetic,
mm-hmm.
the contemporary twist.
Yes. So Warby Parker glasses start at $95. That is including prescription lenses. So it's affordable.
Before I started buying Warby Parker glasses, I'm telling you, I would spend hundreds of dollars on one pair of glasses.
Yeah.
And I love my Warby Parker glasses for $95 so much more.
The other cool thing that we love about Warby Parker, almost 1 billion people worldwide lack access to glasses. This means that 15% of the global population cannot effectively learn or work, which is nuts because glasses were invented 700 years ago. Like, we should have figured this out by
now. What? 700 years ago?
Yeah. So Warby Parker partners with nonprofits like VisionSpring to make sure that for every pair of glasses sold, a pair is distributed to somebody in need. They believe that everyone has the right to see.
So the last pair of Warby Parker glasses that I got, I did the at-home try-on kit.
Yeah.
They sent them to my house. I got to try them on, take selfies with all of them, send them to my friends, let my friends decide what I should get. And then I sent it all back. And then they sent me the pair with my prescription that I wanted.
It's so easy. And the quiz is cool too, because they're like, what's your face shape? What kind of glasses do you want? Dude glasses, lady glasses? Do you like tortoiseshell? Do you like colors? Do you don't like colors?
Do you like wide glasses?
Yeah.
Do you like low bridge glasses?
And then you can either pick them all yourself or Warby Parker can suggest some to you. And then yeah, you get to try them on at home. You get to have your family and friends look at you because you're blind without your glasses. So you might as well have people you trust look at you.
Something I shouldn't admit, when I need to feel calm, I go to warbyparker.com to see what the new styles are.
That does not surprise me. So if you need help, take the quiz, answer a few quick questions. They'll suggest some great looking glasses that are totally personalized to fit your face and your style.
And check out the free home try-on program. Order 5 pairs of glasses, try them on for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy. It ships free and includes a prepaid return shipping label. So head to warbyparker.com/taste to order your free home try-on kit.
Take the quiz to find a pair that is perfect for you today. Again, go to warbyparker.com/taste.
Bethany.
Yes.
If you were dying.
Yes.
Would you want to know?
Oh, God. No.
Okay. I'm asking you this because we got a voicemail this week from Sam in Ohio.
Okay.
And she was talking about the movie The Farewell. It's starring Awkwafina.
Okay, yes, yes.
And it's based on a true story from filmmaker Lulu Wang. And Lulu Wang was interviewed on a really fantastic episode of Fresh Air from Terry Gross.
Okay.
On NPR. So,
yes, yeah.
You know, find the NPR app or check out your local podcasting app, Fresh Air, by Terry Gross. The episode's called The Farewell. And essentially, this girl, Lulu Wang, her grandmother in China had stage 4 cancer, and the whole family hid it from her because they didn't want grandma to be sad. They didn't want grandma to know that she was dying.
That's I remember hearing about this movie. I remember hearing about the story that it originated from. And I think it's very fascinating because she's – so the grandmother's old.
Old, yeah.
So she probably, she's lived her life the way she's lived her life up until now. And uh-huh. She probably wouldn't have a ton of time left anyway. And the reason I say that is because I think it's different if you're 90 mm-hmm. versus if you're 30. Mm-hmm. I think if I was 90, I wouldn't really care to know.
Yeah.
But I think someone who is 30 would maybe view that slightly differently, because it's like, well, I've been holding off going to Italy until I had kids or something, and I would like to know so I could go now. But so, I don't know if I would want to know.
But there's also something to say about the power of distraction. You know, we talked a couple episodes ago about tricking your brain into not thinking about certain things.
Sure.
And it's all about distraction. I mean, to a certain extent.
To a certain extent. Like, not acting sick is not going to cure your cancer.
But it might.
But it might.
It
know,
might
improve.
Buy you some quality of life.
Or it could, it could improve your quality of life. I don't know, man. That's a really hard thing to think about. Would you want to know? Would you want to know? Let's make it a little bit more obscure, because I know we have a lot of listeners who are handling a lot of like health stuff. So I feel like it hits kind of close. Let's say that you have an alien spore in your body.
Okay.
You have an alien spore in your body. Mm-hmm. This alien spore in your body was injected into you at 3 a.m. and it is set to bring you up to the alien world for the rest of your life in a year.
Yeah.
Do you want to know or don't you?
I don't want to know.
You don't
want to know. Do you want to know about the alien spore in your body?
No, I don't. Because I think I'd panic for a year.
I think you're right. I think that this story, the farewell, is different because grandma's old.
Yeah.
Because if you're young, there's going to be ailments that you have that you can't just chalk up to being old age.
Yes, totally.
But yeah, I mean, but there is something about the power of knowing that you're sick and, you know, versus not. I don't know. It's an interesting story. It's still in the theaters. If you, independent theaters, movies that are showing like small indie films,
yeah.
The Farewell, you can still check it out in theaters.
It also, it speaks to the power of a group lie and how hard that is to keep. I was talking to someone, Kathleen, it's funny you bring this up, just yesterday.
Yeah.
She was saying how, I want to see if I can remember this correctly. Her sister-in-law,
uh-huh.
So her husband's sister.
Okay.
Her sister-in-law is married to a man.
Mm-hmm.
They are both profoundly different religions.
Mm.
So when they got married twice. They had a Catholic ceremony.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't remember what his religion was.
Yeah.
They had to have two separate ceremonies. Her family was not told that there was a second wedding.
No way.
Because they would not agree with her marrying a different religion. But the other family went to both weddings.
No freaking way.
So the entire other family kept this huge secret from her family. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I asked and I was like, how did all of these people not say at some point during the wedding reception, God, the other one was fun too, or like a shame you couldn't make it to the other one, or love Catholicism.
Yeah,
and she just said, I don't know, they just didn't. I was blown away.
I'm blown away. I'll tell you why. Because I have three nieces. When my third niece was still in the womb,
yeah,
we did a big gender reveal party. And
yeah.
I was one of the two people who were told what the gender was because I was like making, I don't know, some sort of craft that was part of the big reveal.
Yeah.
And I slipped. I never even told my sister-in-law this. I slipped in front of her parents before the reveal happened. And I referred to the baby as a she. And yeah, so I can't imagine. I mean, and that's like a small secret. We were about to reveal the gender in like 5 minutes after I slipped.
Right, right.
But I can't imagine having to keep another wedding a total secret. I mean, that's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. So I didn't read how the movie turns out.
Yeah.
Like if grandma lived longer or if grandma knew in the farewell, because I actually do want to go see it.
And
I didn't want to spoil it for anybody listening
to this
podcast.
I'm curious.
But Awkwafina is real funny.
She's great. I like her an awful lot. By the way, if anybody ever decides to have like a sex release party, you know, is it being born a boy or girl? Please put me in charge of it. And here is why.
Okay.
Because I'm absolutely going to mess it up on purpose. I am going to, if we break the balloon, I'm going to make all of the powder inside of it green.
Green. Rainbow.
Black.
Black.
And
you're
be like,
having a demon.
Like, you know what? You don't even know.
I hate children. Goodbye.
I don't hate children. I just don't want them.
You just don't want them.
I just think I just don't want them. But I will do it on purpose just to like throw your family off.
All right. Do we have a letter from a taste bud?
Yes. Really quickly. A few episodes ago, we talked to a taste bud. She had done 23andMe and discovered that she was not related to her father.
That's right. Wait, yes. Hang on. I want to tell you the name of the episode. It was a bonus episode and it's spooky emails and a DNA surprise.
Okay. What episode number was that?
Episode 194.
Okay. So 194. What happened is that she did 23andMe. Her dad did 23andMe. Turns out she and her dad do not show up on each other's family family lines.
Ugh.
So she was really concerned that her mom was also not her mom because from what I remember,
she's in vitro fertilization in vitro. Baby. Yeah.
Yes. So she said, hey, ladies, I know y'all asked for an update about my sister and my mom. My mom and my sister are both related to me. My mom recently found out that the clinic she had used for fertility treatments is affiliated with a larger hospital in her area, so she's going to see if we can legally go after them. Because the problem is that the fertility clinic had since closed after they mixed it all up.
They gave her the wrong sperm.
Yeah.
She's made from the sperm that wasn't her dad.
Yeah. So it sounds like they don't talk to dad for other reasons.
Yeah.
She said, we're going to go for now, be happy with our little family of three. My sister and I are dealing with stuff in therapy. We want to be emotionally and mentally ready if we do choose to find our biological father. But right now, they're not telling the man who raised them that they call dad.
Yeah.
They're not telling because they just think that it would be best. He's a little volatile. They don't want to deal with it. But it is nice to know that who she thought was her biological mother is, her sister is, and
dad
so
is
at
not.
Least her worldview isn't as rocked as it potentially could have been.
I think this was an episode of Law and Order starring John Stamos, where John Stamos was so into his sperm that every woman who came into his clinic to get in vitro fertilized, he put his sperm instead, and he had like 30 children all around New York City.
There's a real man like that.
Yeah, I think it was based off a true story.
It always is, ripped from the headlines.
I have an intern, an old intern, who was an in vitro fertilization baby. Her mom decided to have her much later in life alone, so she just got a sperm donation.
Yeah.
And she did 23andMe, and she's got something crazy like 23 siblings or something, or like like 25 siblings. Because, this guy who, you know, her biological father donated his sperm, and apparently he's a really good piano player. He had high SAT scores, and everybody wanted him.
And he's generous because he gives his sperm freely.
It's so interesting. If I didn't have a partner at some point in my life, I would have no qualms about getting a sperm donation and doing in vitro fertilization.
Totally. Would you do like stranger sperm, or would you do like, hey, buddy?
No, I would prefer stranger sperm.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want it. I wouldn't want anyone that I knew.
Yeah. I have some ideas of people who could donate, but that's just me.
Your friend Jeremy's real cute.
I mean, he's great.
And he's very tall.
And he's very smart.
But I mean, how would you go about asking somebody for their sperm?
Oh, I would straight up just ask him. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Okay, so I learned how to tell when it's time for a new pillow.
Oh, how?
I mean, because pillows get old and they get dirty really fast.
Yeah, and they have like dust mites and like skin in them.
So if you fold your pillow in half and it doesn't pop back open.
Yeah.
It is time to get a new pillow.
Is that something you made up, or is that something you read on the internet?
No, I read it on The Skim on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Skim. It's that great newsletter that comes out every day. They have a couple podcasts too. So fold your pillow in half. If it doesn't pop back out to regular shape, if it stays folded or stays sort of deformed looking, you need to get a new pillow.
Oh, I wonder what causes that to stay.
Yeah, but it's probably like all dead skin cells in there that form to that shape.
Yeah. Oh, that's so gross and good to know.
My husband's pillow is disgusting.
I have several spare pillows. Can I just give you one?
No, I mean, like, I have spare pillows too, but he loves this one.
Because it smells like him, because it is him. It's just his dead skin. He's sleeping on himself.
I was the other day pounding on it with my fists, because I was trying to make the bed, and I want it to, like, look a certain way, and it was, like, it basically was in the shape of a potato.
He's just sleeping on dust and Neil.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Okay, if you have pets, especially smaller ones, and they want to play, and you don't always have all the time in the world to give them to play, here is a little trick that I figured out. Take a measuring tape, not like a metal one, but like the cloth kind or the plastic kind that you would use for sewing.
Yeah.
Take the metal tips off of them because those can pop off pretty easily.
Yeah.
Take one end, tie it around your belt loop. Go about your life. Those plastic or fabric measuring tapes yeah. will just flip around behind you as you walk around, and your pets will lose their freaking minds.
This is the best idea ever.
It is so effective. There are times Loki doesn't really like to play, but Minerva wants to kill all the time.
She's a playgirl.
She is a street cat. And a lot of times she wants you to throw things, but she doesn't want to actually chase them. She just wants to know that you're willing to throw balls. And
yes.
I don't have that time. So whenever she's in that mood, I take that measuring tape, I tie a little bit around my belt loop, and I walk around, and she is like murderous.
That is so funny.
She loves it. It's great. You do it while you're cooking. You do it while you're getting ready for bed. You do it while you're cleaning the house.
Yeah.
Every step you take, it flips around behind you, and your pets will love it.
It's kind of like when you're with your significant other and you don't actually like want to have a conversation with them. You just want to know that they're willing to sit on the couch next to you.
Exactly.
You just want to know that they have time to devote to you.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And then you listen to like your independent podcast separately or like you read your own blogs or whatever.
It's that. Yeah, so I hope it helps. Make sure to take the little metal tips off because those do pop off actually pretty easily and you wouldn't want your pet to accidentally swallow it.
Swallow it or get hit in the eye with it or something.
But at one point it fell off my belt loop. Minerva grabbed one end and just marched out of the room with it.
Stop.
So the tape measure was just trailing behind her as she's marching off to murder it. So it was very cute.
You're a good cat mommy.
You're about to be a dual cat mommy.
I cannot wait.
I'm excited.
I can't wait to post a picture for everybody to see Juno.
So, Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter. I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. That's Ms. Bethany Watson. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. I've been catching myself holding my breath a lot lately.
Yes. Spooky season is upon us, so start sending us your haunted emails with things that happened to you this past year, old family stories, or haunted buildings that you've lived in.
Witching hour.
You can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can also find us on social media, Twitter @acquiredpodcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast, and our Facebook fan group. Check them out too.
Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can send us some snail mail, Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
We would also love to hear your lovely voices.
Yes.
We, of course, as you know by now, have a voicemail. We love to listen to what you have to say, and they make me laugh. I really liked, I don't remember his name, but he called with the synopsis of the LGBTQ Hallmark film that he and his friend wrote.
What was it called?
It was so funny. We'll have to listen back.
A ho-ho ranch. Ho-ho like Christmas.
A ho-ho.
Yes.
Ho for Christmas.
A ho.
So good. But you can definitely give us a call. And our phone number is 917-994-0353.
And wherever you listen to our podcast, whatever app you're on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. We love reading all the nice things that you have to say.
Yeah.
And
who doesn't love praise?
Yeah.
And if you have constructive criticism, please leave 5 stars anyway. And then just be like really nice about constructive criticism.
Yeah. Like we're very sensitive.
Yeah, our thin skin is so thin.
So thin, like it's about to tear open. Our bleeding hearts everywhere.
Yeah, yes.
All right, taste buds. Here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Holly. I love your podcast. It just brightens my week every week. And I just wanted to share a happy message. For a couple years, my best friend has been battling breast cancer. And about a year ago, she was diagnosed stage 4, inoperable. It looked really bad. But recently she got the news that she is cancer-free. There is no disease in her body. So I'm just on the moon, overjoyed, and I wanted to share a little bit of hope for anybody that may need it. So thanks. Bye.
Hey, girls. This is Megan from Westchester. I kind of just want to complain that I've just spent a week at the beach. And I now have a farmer's tan. How did this happen? Also, Working Moms, awesome show on Netflix. If anyone else hasn't dug into it, I don't have kids, but it's still pretty funny.
Hi, ladies. This is Colleen from New York. Ladies, I literally had to pause the podcast, but I would pull over to the side of the road and look up the phone number so that I could call you guys and tell whomever the person is that you played their voicemail who suggested listening to the podcast at half speed, but you are officially my favorite human being, well, like third favorite human being after my kids. Maybe even like second because sometimes I'm 4-year-old hesitant. Favorite human being in the world. It is one of the funniest things I have heard in a while. Kathleen and Bethany, I feel like it was like as close as I'll get to like all of us getting really drunk and just sitting around been spewing nonsense all night. And Bethany, I could listen to you saying necrotizing fasciitis on half speed over and over and over again. And anybody else who hasn't done it yet, you need to.
Hi, ladies. This is Emma from New Jersey. I was calling because I completely related to what Kathleen was saying last week on being addicted to your phone. I am cleaning my room right now, and I found I needed to take a phone break. I clean for about 20 minutes, and I sit down and reward myself with Instagram scrolling or Facebook scrolling. I am very, very addicted to my phone, and I love your insight on how to take breaks from it and kind of live more in the real world.
Hi, ladies. This is Caitlin from the beautiful Hudson Valley. I wanted to call because I have been relying really heavily on you ladies over the last several weeks. Just as you rolled out the new season along with your big life changes, I also entered this period of crisis both professionally and personally, and I felt extremely alone and extremely unheard, and it was so apropos that you guys started your new season and came out to talk about, you know, Kathleen, you sharing that your husband had to sit you down and really ask you to look at your priorities in terms of your personal life and your work life. Bethany continuing to be honest about, you know, her journey with her career and her love life, and just really hit home for me. I wanted to thank you ladies for making sure that myself and the rest of the Taste Bud community don't feel alone as we go through periods like this.
Hi, ladies. This is Jen from Pittsburgh. Bethany, I tried sending you an Instagram DM the other day about your eczema in your ears because I've had really similar issues in the past, and then I'm listening to this week's episode, and I just want to jump through the radio and talk to you about this because I've had such similar experiences with my ear, and it took forever and ever and ever, but it turned out that it was a food allergy, and I was allergic to milk, and as soon as I cut that out of my diet, I've been amazing since then, no issues. So I don't know if you've tried doing the food allergy testing before or if anybody's ever recommended that, but I just wanted to throw it out there just in case you haven't explored that option. Hope you feel better soon.
Hi, ladies. It's Alexis from New Jersey. I've been watching the show Diagnosis on Netflix, and I feel like you girls would absolutely love it. It's literally one of the best shows I've ever watched.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Bethany. This is Sarah from Des Moines, and I just finished listening to your most recent podcast, and you made a comment about when you visit Des Moines, you're not prepared enough to for all the cheese you're going to eat or something. Well, I just got back from the grocery store and looked over my receipt. The most expensive item was cheese. My grocery bill was $54, and I spent 20 of it on fancy cheese because I love cheese. I just want to let you know, Bethany, you were right. I know you're from Wisconsin and you understand cheese. Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Bethany. It's Sarah from Des Moines again. I just called like 10 minutes ago about all the cheese I bought while I'm home and I'm having some cheese. Goddamn, it is so good.